50 years ago this week, Freedom Summer spilled into national party politics at the Democratic National Convention. Young volunteers had spent the summer of 1964 in Mississippi working to register African American voters, but leaders of the movement also had a parallel political strategy. It was designed to chip away at the white power structure in the South. In the final installment of our series on Freedom Summer, NPR's Debbie Elliott has the story of the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party.
A 5'4" sharecropper from the Mississippi Delta caught the nation's attention at the 1964 Democratic National Convention in Atlantic City.
I question America.
An emotional Fannie Lou Hamer sat before the convention's credentials committee, seeking recognition for the newly formed and integrated Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party. They were challenging the state party's all-white delegation.
Is this America? The land of the free and the home of the brave, where we have to sleep with our telephones off of the hook because our lives be threatened daily, because we want to live as decent human beings in America. Thank you.
The Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party stormed Atlantic City, garnering the support of liberal delegations outside the South. The 68 delegates, 4 white, the rest black, wanted to be seated instead of the state party's regular delegates, who they argued were wrongly elected in a segregated process. The standoff was the outgrowth of what started as the Freedom Vote in 1963, a mock statewide election open to disenfranchised black voters. Established civil rights groups helped open Freedom polling stations in African American communities throughout Mississippi.
We wanted to show that black votes could make a difference.
The Reverend Ed King, a white Methodist minister, was the party's candidate for lieutenant governor.
We have to break the myth that black people are uninterested in politics.
And no one made that case stronger than Fannie Lou Hamer, a cotton plantation worker with a sixth grade education from tiny Ruleville, Mississippi. Hattie Jordan, a former Ruleville alderwoman, takes me into a section of a city community center.
This is the museum.
Some rooms have been converted into a collection that tells the story of voting rights activist Fannie Lou Hamer.
And it's kind of broken down into sequences of her life, starting with the plantation era.
Hamer was the timekeeper on the Marlowe Plantation, keeping records of how much cotton was picked. This room is full of implements used in the field and in the houses where workers lived on the plantation.
Like the scale that she weighed the cotton on over there, the old iron stove, the slop jar, the tub.
There's a replica of the chapel where Hamer first heard civil rights activists explain that blacks had a right to register to vote, a meeting that moved her to risk her job to register. In the We Shall Overcome documentary, Hamer recounted that her white boss told her to withdraw her voter registration or lose her home and position.
And I answered in the only way I could and told him that I didn't go down there to register for him. I went down there to register for myself, and this seemed like it made him mad.
Hamer's knack for speaking the unvarnished truth drew a following among farm workers in the Delta. She wasn't a young college student standing on principle, but a fellow Mississippian denied her rights for too long. Jordan recites one of Hamer's famous quotes.
All of my life, I have been sick and I have been tired. Now I am tired of being sick and tired. And I guess that was really the motto of most black people. They're sick and tired of how they were being treated, poverty, lack of, you know, respect.
Hamer decided to run for Congress, and Jordan says despite being fired, shot at, jailed, and beat up, Hamer continued to lead groups of African Americans to county courthouses to register to vote.
Oh, it was something special about her. You know, you look at it, and folks may say she only had a sixth grade education, but she had something that God had given her, and she was a very spiritual lady, and they said that as people would become kind of upset, she would calm them down with singing.
Oh, the 1964 Democratic National Convention in Atlantic City, Fannie Lou Hamer was part of backroom negotiations to determine how the National Party would recognize the Mississippi Freedom Democrats' demand to be seated as delegates. The situation thrust President Lyndon Johnson into an uncomfortable position as he sought the Democratic nomination. At the same time, three Freedom Summer civil rights workers had gone missing and were feared dead in Mississippi.
Senator?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. The President.
Yes.
Senator Eastland on 9-1.
He called his old Senate colleague, James Eastland, a cotton planter from the Mississippi Delta. LBJ wanted to know about the missing workers. Eastland, a staunch civil rights foe, tells the president it's a publicity stunt and also warns him about Fannie Lou Hamer.
This Negro woman in Louisville had been to Washington and testified that she was shot at 19 times is lying.
During the convention, in another phone call, LBJ explains to Eastland he wants to strike a compromise that keeps the white Mississippi delegation seated while promising to open up minority participation at future conventions.
Freedom delegations say, well, for 100 years here, they've been excluding Negroes from the primaries, but we got ourselves a resolution that says that they're going to look into it the next 4 years, and they're going to consider it at the next convention whether Negroes did participate. 4 years from now, there'll be Negroes participating in all conventions.
In the end, the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party refused an offer of two at-large seats at the convention. Fannie Lou Hamer explained why.
You know, because if we got two votes at large, we didn't have nothing.
But in reflection, Ed King, who was the Freedom Democrat National Committee man, says they may have left the convention without votes, but they changed the way politics were waged for generations to come.
We had opened up a whole new world. The issue was no longer, will a minority group be accepted, be allowed to vote?
Now, the question was how. Debbie Elliott, NPR News.